Hello everybody, welcome back to the Run Strong podcast with me, Gary House, online run coach and the leader of the Run Strong Club. Thanks for everybody's feedback on the smaller, shorter episodes. Had some positive feedback on those. I'll keep those coming as and when I feel the need to chat or keep my own journal. This episode is an interview with Kate McKenzie, who is the founder of Harrier, a new UK based brand and she's designed from scratch to product launch a range of race vests, carbon poles and trail running essential kit, basically still being affordable, which once you take a look at the kit available and the price points, I'm sure you'll agree there is definitely a gap in the market for what she's trying to do. So I thought it'd be great to get Kate to chat and let us know the idea behind Harrier, where she's up to now, where she plans to go with it. Kate was actually due to join me and a group on my latest Winsticks workshop, running with poles. It's obviously not going to happen with the current climate. So Kate stayed at home, we chatted over Skype, and I hope you enjoy the interview. Kate has also very kindly offered to run a competition for all our listeners, and she's given away two pairs, so two listeners can win a pair of the new carbon poles that haven't been released yet. They're due to be released, and so if you listen and enjoy the podcast, listen all the way through to the end and I will let you know how to enter that competition. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Here is my interview with Kate McKenzie. Right, I'm off. Right, we're here with Kate McKenzie. That's right, isn't it, Kate? I didn't check.
Yeah.
Kate McKenzie, yeah. And she is the founder of Harrier. Is it Harrier Run Free or Harrier?
Yeah, just Harrier. Run Free is more like the strap line.
For the website, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Harrier and it's .co.uk.
Yep.
For now, and she's brought out a range, or she's bringing out a range of, well, I'll let Kate say to begin with and then we'll go back. So what is the range of products you've got so far?
Yeah, so I mean, Harrier is going to be specializing in race vests and carbon running poles, and then all of the essential kit to go with it for trail running, so things like the hydration equipment and safety equipment. So that is basically some of them we've launched already, and then other things are still in the pipeline.
And when was the initial idea for the brand kicking around your head?
It started last year. So I've always wanted to start my own business, and I'd had a look at the kind of Amazon model with people selling through Amazon, because it's a really good way to set up by yourself. You can find your own niche with something. And the more that I looked into it, the more I thought, yeah, I can definitely do this. But when I started out, I was actually looking at selling all of these random things. Like one of them was pond liner, randomly. And then something else was van seat covers, because I was just trying to find a product that would sell on Amazon. And then on the other side of the fence, I was thinking about affiliate marketing, yeah, which is basically where you have links to other people's products and you earn a commission if you sell something. So say for like a race vest from somebody else, if I put a link up from my blog or something, then I get 5 or 10% of that commission. But as things went on, I realized that I had this love of trail running, which is what I was thinking about doing with the affiliate marketing. And then I had the Amazon model, which I thought gives people a lot of freedom for working for themselves. And then I realized that I could start doing my own trail running equipment. And it really came from the fact that I was going to start doing this affiliate marketing for other companies. But then if I couldn't afford any of this equipment myself, why would I expect other people to buy it? So I thought, well, maybe I can start designing my own. And it kind of snowballed and became all consuming after that for the past 6 months.
And, well, you should have got hand sanitizer, right? That should have been one of the
products. No.
Missed the boat there, bloody pond liner. But So the trail running, how long had you been trail running before you thought I wanted to kind of build a business out of it as well?
I started out running a few years ago. Like, I'd always done a little bit of keep fit and things, but I started with a road running club a few years ago, and then started on trail running, say, a couple of years ago, and then fell running last year. So I've sort of progressed. And as I've got more into the running, the less I've been bothered about things like the 5Ks and the 10Ks with the PBs and stuff. And so I really loved trail running. And, you know, the more you progress with trail running, you kind of have to get these other bits of kit and you sort of build yourself up with different elements. But I was always buying secondhand. So whether it was like my poles or my race vests, even a few of my water bottles, they were secondhand because it's just so expensive. And I've always been one for charity shops anyway. And so I just thought, well, I'll just go for it and try and do my own. But yeah, so it is my love of running that has driven it really, and my journey into trail running.
And did you think, like, when you start, you started to enjoy the trail running and everything, realise you needed some kit for it. Were you initially kind of shocked at some of the cost of, say, the poles or a bag that you might need and things like this? Did that drive you and think you could do it better at first? Because it sounds like you've never really bought into the fact that I need all the best gear or kind of one brand stood out to you, and you've kind of only devoted everything to that. Was it the expense, or was it the fact, or maybe not the expense, just the fact that this shouldn't be that expensive, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's more kind of digging my heels in a little bit. Like, I can afford to buy some of this kit if I really wanted to, but it was more the fact that I just didn't want to. And some of the brands are brilliant. There are a few that I do go to more than others because I think that they're really good quality. And that's why I buy secondhand, because I want the good quality and I don't mind if it's been worn a few times. So all of my shoes are secondhand as well. Mm. And I must have saved like hundreds, probably actually close up to in the thousands now, because how many shoes that you get through with buying them secondhand. And I wasn't sure because there's so much technical information. There's so much technical detail that goes into all of these items when you trail run in. And as I've progressed to the more difficult trail running and fell running, you know, things like Bob Graham rounds and, you know, Lake District stuff and ultras and things, you realise that you do need the quality. So for me, it's been a bit of a learning curve to see if I could do it myself. I have had help along the way from people, different consultants, which have helped me. So, for example, I've got help with the technical designer, Dan, who's been brilliant with helping me with all the materials, with the race vests, and also Claire Maxted from Wild Ginger Running. She's helped me with a lot of features from all of her gear demo work, which has been amazing. So to start with, I wasn't sure if I could do it myself, you know, a few months ago. But then as I got into it and I started learning more, and you kind of go to like the University of YouTube and you start teaching yourself all these things, you just get to each barrier or you get to each challenge and you learn about that. You have to teach yourself something else and then you do it and then you move on to the next thing. And it's kind of come to the point now where I do feel like I've got there with things and I'm happy with it, and it's exciting to share it with people.
And although kind of it sounds like you've almost got the first lot of products out quite quickly, but at the same time you've been quite patient with it as well. You haven't just rushed something out, because like you say, like from my point of view, I remember back, like before you could get a run-specific trail running bag, you were still running, like my first bag was a cyclist's bladder thing, kind of thing, that you could run with. And then it would be like a mountain hiking bag, just kind of reduced down. I remember kind of cutting loads of bits off it and things like this. So I just think, when you come in, a lot of people are almost too spoilt these days with all these run-specific bags. And it's great and everything. I do like saving weight and all that kind of stuff. But there was a period where it was great, and then the quality seemed to just, or the durability starts to be missing as well. And a lot of that is, I guess, the bigger brands, and they're looking to save money left, right, and centre. And then there's the cheaper end of the scale, which won't last either. So I think From what I can see, you're kind of pitching it in the middle or something. Is that right? You're kind of trying to go for quality, but not overpriced as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I first started trail running, I just had a rucksack and my dog walking coat. So, I mean, I used to get through the races fine. And you do, you just make do, don't you? And I think that makes you realise that actually maybe you don't need all of this hyped up stuff. You know, people back in the 60s and 70s used to be awesome runners and they didn't need like to spend a fortune on kit. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, because my stuff is just about trail running, price.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the price tag. It's not, because the bags worked 10 years, well, like the shoes, the bags and the kit worked when I was trail running 10 years ago. And not a lot's changed in trail running, but there's kind of, yeah, the kind of the seasons of when you need kit and things like this. There's some people will go through two or three bags in a year when a bag should last you until it's literally fall into bits, I think, usually. The fact that some of them, the fact that some of them just fall to bits too soon, that's where the bigger brands are falling down, I think. So the other thing is they're kind of, a lot of the bigger brands, admittedly, they're spearheaded by elite athletes, and their feed, any feedback they get is a lot of the time from elite athletes, and they can kind of just pick and choose whatever they want. Whereas you've started up a Facebook page, and I know from the start you were just kind of asking for feedback from trail runners in general, weren't you, at the start?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's great because the Facebook page and the Instagram, I just feel like it's a group of mates that I can just chat to, really. It's just got such a nice feel to it. And everything that people have said to me, I've taken on board and I've tried to integrate it into what I do. And it's given me some brilliant ideas. So thanks so much to everybody. But it has just raised it up another level. And I think it is, you want something to use it until it falls apart a long time down the line. You know, buy something once and buy it right. But I don't think that means having to spend 130 quid on a race vest. So there's got to be something, hasn't there, that's good quality, but not the big price tag. And that's where I saw the gap.
And there's lots of trail runners that are just, like I say, they might just be out for an hour or two in the hills. They're not tackling the UTMB and stuff like this. There's not much, or they're not running like kind of Sierras and Al and stuff. There's not much in between, is there? That, because then the other option for the people that just want to enjoy an hour or two, they shouldn't be really paying over the odds for it, but then they deserve better than the cheapest out there as well, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean, fair play to some of the cheaper brands, you know, like Kalenji, A&EG and stuff, because at least they've given people an option to have something. But then some of the designs are a bit weird. I mean, I've looked at some of the A&EG ones and you can't even fit a water bottle in some of the pockets. And then they have like a weird plastic bit on the front that's like a child's name tag, you know, if you're going on a school trip. So, I mean, but then it's like, it's just cheap for people getting into it, isn't it? But yeah, I think mine will still be affordable. And even if you want to do a day in the mountains or you're just sort of going local for a trail run, it's going to be there for people, really. And no, it's definitely not about being elite athletes. I mean, I want to get away from that image as much as possible because I just find that it looks intimidating. It's off-putting. It's not relevant for 95% of people who trail run. And yeah, just need something different, really. We're not all like Kilian Jornet, you know, striding around the Alps. So just nice to have a bit of reality, really.
So what was the first product that you thought I'm gonna have a go at, and kind of how did that come about, kind of thing? How did you get started with it? Because for me, like, I've been asked in the past, why don't you do something similar? I would not have a clue of where to start, who to go to and things like this. So how did you get that first product from like your head onto kind of now it's kind of almost production, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I had loads of race vests and I took little elements from each one that I thought worked well and which bits I'd improved and kind of put them together into this like Frankenstein type vest. So I literally like chopped them all up and things and like stitched them back together in my living room. And then I did some drawings that looked a little bit like a five-year-old child had drawn with felt tips and coloured them all in and sent them off to this manufacturer. And these manufacturers, these guys, they actually work with really big companies across the world. And then they got my little child sketches with fake felt tip pens and me asking them to make these race vests. And they've been so nice about it, and they've been very patient, and it's great. And then yes, they've made me these like race vests, and they usually make bags, so it was a learning curve for them.
Yeah,
but I couldn't believe it when they came through. I was like, oh wow, it's brilliant, like I've got my first prototype. And that first Kerber prototype, the 5-liter vest, is the one that I still wear on all of my runs now. Okay. Like I love it. It's definitely not saleable quality.
Yeah.
But it's a bit rough around the edges, but it's brilliant. And I do love it. And then since then, I have had the money to be able to invest in a proper technical designer. And Dan at DC Sportswear, he has done all of these amazing technical drawings. And I can just imagine the manufacturers like being so excited that they've got some proper drawings to go from now. So yeah, I've definitely invested a little bit more in the company since like 6 months ago, which is great.
And have you still got the Frankenstein vest? Have you still got it?
No, it's with the manufacturers. I've probably thrown it in the bin.
No, you've got to get that back. You'll have to get that back. You can go in the Harrier Museum.
Well, won't it? Yeah, I can auction it off in a few years, can't I?
Yeah.
For a chat event.
It'll probably come full circle and people will probably pay a lot of money for it back in about 10 years.
Yeah, I can say it's limited edition and charge like 200 quid for it, can't I?
Yeah. So the start with the bags. What model of bags have you got, and describe them for us?
So the two bags, there's a 5-liter, which is called the Kerber, and the 10-liter, which is called Kinder. So they're named after places in the Peak District, which is where I live. And Kerber Edge is really beautiful place, which is where I used to, well, I still go to do a lot of my trail runs. And then Kinder is where I go fell running with my club, Pennine Fell Runners. Okay. And so it was those two places that really inspired me. I got a bit fed up with all the performance names from bits of kits, you know, like, well, I won't, you know what they are, but I thought it would be nicer to name them after places than extreme athleticism. And so they're my main ones, but I am also designing a budget vest, which will be similar to the other two, but a bit of a lower price tag for people that are just wanting to do basic trail runs. And then I also want to do a special one for XXL sizes, because basically there's nothing for people who want the larger sizes. So the 5 and the 10 are coming out, and then the budget and the XXL vest are hopefully going to follow after I've got those two out the door.
And what kind of, when you're planning to make a vest, I always thought, because like you say, as the sizings go up, is that a bit of a challenge when you're designing them?
Well, I'll leave that to Dan now. It's not my problem.
Okay, yeah. So you can just tell him what is required now, yeah.
I think the problem is when people are trying to make a vest that's suitable for everybody, because you see some of these XL sizes and it's basically just a standard size which has just been adapted, and it just doesn't fit right, and it's not right at all. So yeah, it's got to be done properly, and it's not something available. So yeah, well, anyway, I'm going to be asking people for some feedback on that area to develop that product.
And I saw today that you were posting about trying to get more recycled materials into the packs and things like that. Was that right?
Oh, yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, it's brilliant. Have you heard about those regenerated fabrics before?
Yes, yeah, but don't know a lot about it. So go on, tell us.
So they're basically these different fabric manufacturers. They take plastics out of the ocean. So they work with fishermen and things. and they will take bottles out of the oceans, or they might take out ghost nets, like old fishing nets that have just been left. And then they process it all down into plastic flakes, and then they spin it, and then they re-spin it into polyester or nylon. And then you've got these really beautiful fabrics again that have been taken from rubbish out of the oceans. So I'm testing at the moment that which materials I can replace in the vest, because the vests have got so many different elements to them.
Yeah.
So it's whether I can take those regenerated plastics fabrics and put them into the race vest. But it would be awesome if I can do that. So I'm trying really hard to be able to.
I guess if you can replace polyester, something like that would be massive, wouldn't it?
Because it's not just, I think it's not enough just to be recyclable, because you're still taking these raw materials and making them. I think if you're making it out of plastic that's come out of landfill, then you're actually like doing something good. It would be great. Fingers crossed.
Have you spoke to Dan Lawson at Rerun yet?
No, who's no. that? Sorry.
So Dan is he's probably one of our best ultra runners in the UK, like top level. But he will only wear kind of he will only wear secondhand clothing in his races. He will only wear patched up shoes, all that kind of stuff. And he runs along with his partner, Rerun, it's called. So they basically, it's a charity based business, and they take in all race T-shirts and basically unwanted running kit. And then they upcycle them and try and get rid of them again. But yeah, so you'll have to check them out, because he's massive into how to get into the recycling of like buy it once kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh wow, okay, that sounds awesome. I'll definitely look him up.
Yeah, I'll send you his details after. Yeah, but he's great. He's like, he's so passionate about it, and the fact that he's such an amazing ultra runner as well, he's really driving it forward, I think, along with the charity. He's probably one of he'll tell.
To think that all of this kit is going to do the hard work for you, where actually it's just your body. You've just got to go and do something. You don't need all this other stuff, do you? It's just,
And it's kind of, you're right. It's like that. And I still buy kit, but I don't buy a lot of kit, because it really frustrates me if I buy it and then it's kind of, and then it gets used a couple of times. So I've still got like Helly Hansen tops that are 10 years old, and I can still go out and run in them. It's still quite kind of frustrating the more you know that it's never going to go anywhere kind of thing. So, and when you buy a pair of trainers, it's the same deal, but until someone come up with completely recycled shoes, it's going to be difficult, I think, isn't it?
I know, I've got about 10 pairs of dog walking shoes. In fact, I don't think I've ever actually thrown away a pair of shoes. I just kind of go through different ones.
Yeah. Oh, Charlotte, my missus goes mad in the garage where I am now. There's probably 15 pairs, because like you say, if it's dog walking pairs, like garden pairs, and then like top end Salomon shoes from 10 years ago, but I don't want to put them in the bin, because then it's landfill kind of thing.
I know, like, you know when you're getting old when you've got garden trainers, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I just putting trainers in the bin, although I know they're done with, it's just one of those things that gets me a little bit, because I know where they're going kind of thing.
Good mindset though, isn't it? Good mindset to have, just to make do with what you've got and buy once and things. So
I think with brands like Settlefifth, because at the same time, all you're saying is you're making the effort to try and see what you can do with it. It doesn't have to be. I think that's the best way to do it. You're not saying, right, I can completely change this pack or completely do this, but just small changes here and there, and then eventually we'll get there, I think.
Yeah, and I think like technology is always improving. So these fabrics and the different elements, you know, whether it's zips or buckles or anything like that, as it becomes more popular and more widely available, then you just keep upgrading, don't you? You keep replacing and things. So just do it a little bit as you can. Like, we've gone to completely compostable mailing bags, which was an easy thing. I asked my suppliers, don't send anything in plastic packaging now as well. So, you know, that's just small things, isn't it? And try and do little bits as you go.
So the other things you've got so far are the poles, which... we were meant to have a poll pole running workshop this weekend, weren't we? So I was running a pole workshop and Kate was coming down to show the poles off and let everyone use them and stuff, but obviously that's not happening now. So tell us about the poles that you've got coming as well, because I've seen them, they look great.
Oh yeah, the Helvellyn Z poles.
Yeah.
So they are, yeah, carbon trail running poles. And yeah, I was basically inspired to make those after supporting my friends on a Bob Graham Rounds last year. So we had loads of training runs up in the lakes, and one of my mates lent me his poles one day, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I've never used these before. They were so good. So I got myself a secondhand pair of Black Diamonds, aluminium ones, because they were the only things I could afford, and used those all last year, and they're brilliant. I do love your wind sticks video. Yeah. I'm going to put that up as a link. For anyone who's not seen that, see Gary's why you use poles. Maybe not if you have a bit of a sensitive disposition, but still.
It drives me. Poles have drove me insane for years, yeah. But anyway, go on.
they're so great. And I had a lesson with a Nordic walking instructor about how to use them properly, because I see so many people kind of flapping them around and not using them properly. So yeah. Invest in a little lesson with somebody. And yeah, the Helvellyn Z poles are basically carbon. They're designed to be simple, you know, for trail runners. So nice, simple, comfortable strap. They've got the carbide tips on them, which are great for trails. Got a decent carry case. And yeah, they're 3K carbon, which I've learned all about carbon materials now as well on my little journey in manufacturing. And this carbon that I've used is like woven as opposed to just strong one way. So rather than them just being strong vertically, they're also strong horizontally.
Yeah.
Which is great. It just gives them a bit of extra strength. So they're still really lightweight, about 220 grams each. Yeah. And yeah, hoping for those to be available for like just under 70 quid. So again, they're like almost half the price. But the only reason I can do this is because I'm working direct to customer.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm selling cheap stuff. It's just because I'm using a different business model. And it's like, goes back to that Amazon side of thing, yeah, is where because I'm going direct to customer, I'm not having to pay out a massive chunk to retailers or distributors, which yeah, is great.
Yeah. And when you kind of started researching about the poles and everything and the backpacks and everything, did you just kind of enjoy going down all these black holes with research and things like that? It sounds like you have done.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with about 5 different manufacturers for all of my different goods to have samples and test them to be able to get to this point where I'm working with like the people that I really like, and the ones that have been the best quality, and you know, they've just been great to work with. So yeah, it's taken it almost looks sometimes like I'm kind of here and it doesn't look like much, but to get to this point, it has been just solid for 6 months, like sampling and trying to find the best things for people and the best designs. So yeah, it's come together in the end anyway.
Just shows though that kind of like you say, once you've started researching and putting your head to it, then you've come up with an alternative for people, because up until now there kind of hasn't been, is there? Especially with poles, I think. That's even more set than the packs and anything else in trail running. Once you need the poles, I think the more affordable versions, like I've seen them, they're just not that good. They're not that good, but they're not usually that trail run specific either, are they? So you can't really blame them sometimes.
Yeah, they look like they're more hikey stuff, yeah, don't they? Whereas these are for runners. And obviously you are doing hiking when you're doing ultra running and things. There are places where you're going to be walking, but they're just simple. Mm. I think that's it really. You just want something simple that's good quality, don't you? So,
and
yeah.
You've got the, they're height adjustable, aren't they? Which I like.
Yes, these ones are height adjustable. I did look at some fixed length ones as well, which would have been a bit lighter, but just for getting going, these height adjustable ones are just ideal really. So you can share them. If you have a pair, you can share them with your partner and adjust the height. Yeah. Bonus.
And up until now, you've also got the drinks bottles and the cups, is that right?
Yeah. almost sold out of those, actually. So they've done really well, and people seem to be liking them, which is great. And I've got some new ones coming. So I've got loads of new colours coming, which is quite exciting because obviously you want to be colour coordinated with everything. So they'll be coming out in about a month, which will be great. So if you get a nice Harrier vest, then you can get whatever type of bottle that you'd like to be colour matching. So everybody's nice and fashionable, which is ideal.
You're saying the vest will be able to match. Are the vests going to match the bottles? Because you've got pink and all sorts, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could have some fancy pink flasks to go with your vest. Actually, the lads have really loved the pink bottles. Yeah, I'm surprised. They have, yeah. The pink and the red have been really popular.
It's just something different, isn't it? You see the same bottles all the time, don't you? It doesn't matter which brand, it's the same kind of bottle. So it's nice to have some colour, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I like having one colour for water and one colour for electrolytes or something, so I know what's what when I'm, 8 hours into an ultra or something and you're starting to go a bit delusional. You need all the help you can get, don't you? So
yeah. And have you got any plans to add other stuff? Because I know you haven't kind of launched properly yet, and I guess things have been stalled with the kind of current climate, which is a bit annoying, but... Are you just going to release what you've got ready now, or are you already working on plans for the next kind of 6 months of the year?
I'd quite like to design a bag for ultra runners, like a kit bag, because I don't know about you, but I've used a bag for life for going to all of my events for like the past couple of years. Yeah. So I've got the Sainsbury's bag that I put everything in.
I don't even get that far. It's usually just in the boot. I don't usually go that far. It's just usually in the boot. It's all in the boot.
So that would be quite nice, but to be honest, I'd rather do a few things and do them really well. I might go into the apparel side, like the leggings and t-shirts, but I'd rather just specialise in some things like the vests, and do those really well before I start thinking about anything else.
And where did the name Harrier come from? That was what I was going to ask you first, but I completely forgot.
So the name Harrier came from my mum, actually. So my mum's recently retired, and so she spends all of her time looking at stuff to do with like British wildlife, and I think she quite fancies Chris Packham, because she's always going on about Chris Packham, and he's always talking about saving the hen harriers. So my mum is always banging on about harriers and Chris Packham, and so I thought, oh, Harrier's a good name, actually, because you've got all of the running clubs as well. Thank you, Chris Packham. It's from that. And my mum really hopes that she gets to meet him one day, so maybe she will do.
That's definitely not what the answer I was expecting, but... Did you have to have a vote on it? Are we going to call these Packhams or Harriers?
Yeah, well, if the trademark doesn't go through, I have to change it. I'll call it Packham instead.
Yeah, I'd start Packhams quick, just in case. I have a backup account on Instagram, Facebook, just in case.
Race Packhams.
So is your mum happy that it's Harriers? Was she honoured?
Oh yeah, she loves it. And I mean, now she's retired, she can come and do all my fulfilment for me as well, all my postage, so it's fine.
Yeah, will she be out with the polls as well?
I did show her some of those polls, and I said, would you fancy doing some Nordic walking or some some walking with them? She goes, well, maybe next week, Kate. You know what mums are like.
Yeah. My mum used to love walking in the hills, and when she still had not real clue what I was doing in the mountains and everything, but when I said that this was about 5 years ago, I've been running with in the mountains with my poles, just said it off the cuff. The following week she came for lunch and brought these old walking poles that she had from like 20 years ago, like really old kind of, I don't know what they were made out of, kind of ridiculous things, and said, oh, you can borrow these if you like. It's like just one massive stick, basically. Amazing thing, but I was like, bloody hell, that weighs more than me, kind of thing. I don't know how you were hiking around with those. But she thought I'd be all right with them.
Poles come from on the back of the dragon's back, where you've got those two big sticks. Were you actually using those at the end of your race?
It's a long story. I'll try and shorten it up. I run with poles quite a lot in the mountains. I'm a massively big fan of them. The day before the Dragon's Back, when you have to register, my bag got turned away because it's it. I've done a podcast on this, so I'll shorten it. But the bag that I had needed to be waterproof, you know, like the overnight bag. So I had a scuba bag, which is fully waterproof, but it's got one of these big posh zips on. But it is fully waterproof. Scuba guys use them. Because it had a zip on, they said no, and everything was packed in that. So I had to buy one off them, like a roll bag, and then I was just the last one to register. All my kit was out on the field, and I was just basically ripping up boxes of food, throwing that in. It all just got stuffed in, and it just didn't fit properly in this roll bag, so I had to make some choices. And I knew I'd be okay without my poles. Left my poles. And then on the fourth day, got that kind of horrific injury on my leg. So on day five, I couldn't even walk to the toilet before the race started. Couldn't really walk very well. All the kind of tendons in my leg had gone. Got moving because it was the last day and like my family were coming down, and it wasn't in my head to stop. It wasn't like a career-ending injury. It was just horrendous pain. About a mile up the road, there was a pile of like these, I think it was birch or something. So rather than struggle all day, I just spent 15 minutes like whittling down these bits of thing. It's like people running past me thinking, what the hell is he doing? But then I kept them. Yeah, I mean, they were just a godsend. And to be fair, loads of competitors and they were coming past me were saying, Do you want my poles? But I just grew attached to them, so I finished with them in the end. I couldn't have finished that fifth day without those in the end, I don't think.
You look very happy. You look like you're having a lovely day, not that you're in excruciating pain from tendons.
Yeah, I was happy then because I'd just done about 12 hours with like extreme tendonitis, so I was happy then. But yeah, we kept them. And the only blisters I got all week were on my hands off those bits of wood.
Yeah. Oh, well, brilliant. Well, yes to wind sticks, hey?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, take them with you, though. That's what I would say. So, running-wise, what have you got coming up this year? I know kind of the first half of the year is probably a write-off, but you've got some personal challenges you'd want to do, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not really fussed about racing anymore. Don't like it. don't really enjoy it, especially the shorter ones. They're just hard work. And it's a bad thing when you're competitive, but you're not actually that good.
Yeah, so, definitely, yeah.
No point. I wouldn't mind doing a few things in the Peak District. So there's the Kinder Dozen, which is a bit like a challenge, and you're basically doing 12 ups and downs off the Kinder Plateau in a day, which could be fun. And then I don't know, I might try and do like a bit of a self-supported jog across the Peak District just for something to do later in the year. And then supporting my friend who's going to be doing he's going for a double Bob Graham round. So he's a little bit mad. But that would give me something to aim towards as well. But apart from that, I just really enjoy going out with my friends on long days out, really. So I just like to train to be able to be as fit as I can be, just to enjoy the scenery, really. And that is the main thing for me.
I think hopefully in the second half of the year, especially when everyone's maybe still free to run, that I think personal challenges and things like that will come back into everyone's head, I think, rather than being so focused on racing. I think that's one of the positives right now I'm seeing anyway.
Yeah, I think it's nice. And then you can say, oh, well, these are all my favourite places near where I live. How about I spend this is a day and I want to go around and do all of these things? And that also takes pressure off your training, because you can say, well, I'm going to aim for 5 months, but if I'm not fit enough, then yeah, it's okay. I'll train for another month to get there, rather than, you know, trying to push towards something. And it's just all about taking the pressure off, isn't it, really? Yeah. So I like to be able to do my running and enjoy it, not to feel like I have to do anything.
Yeah, I think there's, like, if you do start feeling that pressure in things of races, then that's a great way to go. So more people should be doing it, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Right then, Kate, thank you.
Thanks.
So tell me where we can find Harrier and yourself on social media and everything, so we can check everything out.
Okay, moment, the website is under construction, and we're just taking this time at the moment as a bit of an opportunity to shut down and get rebranded and everything. But it will be harrierrunfree.co.uk. On Instagram, it's Harrier Trail Running, and then on Facebook, it's Harrier Trail Running as well, I think. Well, you'll find us anyway. So yeah, it'd be great if you follow us on social media and then just see how we're coming along with all the new product launches.
And I checked it out on your website. If you do still go to that website, you can get on your email list and kind of keep up to date that way as well, can't you?
Yeah, subscription list is great because that's how I'm letting people know about how to get onto the waiting list for the polls and also for the vests, because I won't have huge numbers to start off with. So I'll be offering people the chance for pre-sales.
There you go. Get on Kate's email list then. That's the best way to go. Right. Thank you, Kate. Thanks for joining us. Check out Kate's Facebook and Instagram. And she's always, I can see from the outside, she's welcome to any feedback and she's always asking for it as well, aren't you?
Yeah. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Great to speak to you.
No problem. I'll catch you soon, Kate. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Thank you, Kate, for sharing her story and where she plans to go with Harrier. Like I said at the beginning, Kate is kindly giving away two pairs of her brand new Harrier Helvellyn Carbon Z poles. They're designed with features especially for trail runners, which include easy fold for getting in and out of your race vest. These are usually going to cost and be priced at $69.99, which is still a great price for carbon poles. So when they do come out, when she does launch them, I would encourage you to check them out. If you want to be in with a chance of winning, which I'm sure you do, it's really simple. Just hunt out the original post for the podcast on my Instagram or Kate's social media. Tag a friend that you might think could do with some Winsticks and use the hashtag Winsticks. So it's tag your friend, use the hashtag Winsticks so we can see it, and you will be put into the hat. The competition will be left open for 1 week. This will be released on Sunday the 4th. No, sorry, Sunday the 5th of April. So we will leave the competition open until Sunday the 12th of April. And Kate will announce again on her social media. And I'm sure I will announce too who is going to win the Helvellyn Carbon Z polls. Like I said, thanks everyone again for listening. I appreciate all the shares in your stories on Instagram and your reviews. Keep them coming. I will speak to you all soon.